You know, I'm emotional today because, you know, God began to minister to my heart this week. And in my spirit, I felt a mourning, and I felt as if there was something wrong in my spirit. And God began to minister to me and tell me that the people of God are hurting. And he began to sow into my spirit that he wants us as his people to know that he cares. The message today is I run to you in my brokenness. I run to you in my brokenness. I don't know about you, but the world, people are broken. They're broken from the inside out. And they don't even know why they can't attach themselves to an ounce of joy, an ounce of happiness. But God is saying today that he hears your cry. He hears and he knows your concerns. But we must look to him in our brokenness. To be dried up means to have no life. Church, it's time to dig deep within ourselves and know if we're alive. To know if we're in a place spiritually where we're alive and we're drawing from the strength of God. In our brokenness, there's going to be deliverance. In our brokenness, there's going to be revival. In your brokenness, you're going to see victory. Yes. This again. There's a scripture in Psalms 34:18. And it says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. I'm saying again, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in their spirit. The reason why this scripture is so is because the devil wants you to get to a place of brokenheartedness, a place where you don't trust no more, a place where you are uncomfortable. But the Bible says here that God is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. I'm reading out of Psalms 34:18. American Standard. The next scripture is Psalms 51:8. It says, make me to hear joy and gladness. You hear that? Make me to hear joy and gladness, and let my bones which are broken have rejoice. You see what I'm saying? It says here, make me hear joy and gladness. I'm going to talk to the church today about the valley of dry bones. I'm going to talk to you today about understanding how God is able to restore the dead. There is a scripture, if you turn with me to Ezekiel 37:1-6. Ezekiel was a prophet, and one day God took him and he began to show him a vision. And he began to minister to him what was going on in the people. And church, I want you to listen to this because this is a stuff, this is what we're going on through today. It says in Ezekiel 37:1-6, it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. So what he's saying is God has come to him, and he brought him to the middle of the valley, and he was in the spirit, and he led me around them. Okay, so he brought him to the middle of the valley. To the middle of the valley and sat him down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. The valley was full of bones. This is a prophecy. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. Okay, there was very many bones on the surface of the valley. There wasn't a few bones. There wasn't a few dead bones, but there were many bones. And I'm going somewhere with this message today. Amen. And behold, they were very dry, it says. And he said to me, this is what God said to him, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. So Ezekiel said to God, I'm not sure, but I know you know if these bones can live. God took him in a vision, in a dream, and revealed to him in the valley, it was full of dead people. God is saying that we are dead today. The church is dead. People are dead. We're not alive anymore because we allowed ourselves to be broken from the inside out. And one thing about this scripture, about the valley of dry bones, is saying that when he looked on in the valley was full of dry bones. The church, God is saying the church is full of dry bones, full of people with no life and don't know that they're sitting in greatness. They're sitting on a blessing. The thing about dry bones is this. Dry bones means that it's dry from the inside. You ever take a bone and snap it in half? And it's totally dry from the inside. It has no life. It has no life. And it says in the third, he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. And then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them. Now, this is what God is telling Ezekiel. He said, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. He's saying to him, listen, you got to do it yourself. Prophesy to these bones and say, hear the word of the Lord. God is saying that we want to get an answer and we want to get deliverance, but we don't want to do it ourselves. But he told Ezekiel to look at the dryness, look at the situation. And now Ezekiel turned around and said to the Lord, Lord, I know these are dry bones, but God said, can they live again? He said, I don't know. How you feeling in your spiritual life? You don't feel like you can live again? You don't feel like you can jump and shout again? You don't feel like you're victorious anymore? God is saying, he's asking you, can you live again? He said, don't come to me talking about worries me. He's asking a question to the church. He said, can you live again, church? Can you have victory again? Can you now rejoice in the things of God again? And I'm here to tell you that the Lord is saying you can. You got to say it's not like going for a president where we're saying, yes, we can. I'm telling you, yes, you can, because the word of God says you speak to and prophesy to the dry bones and you're going to live again. Prophesy to your situation and you're going to live again. Somebody needs to rejoice in Jesus because you are not dead, because your God is alive. It's so good to see and experience God. But when you're broken, when you're going through something, that's when you need to know that somebody cares. And God is saying he cares for you regardless about the situation. So you might feel broken. But it says in the fourth verse, he said to me, prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. See, the thing is, you don't need to just speak. He said, prophesy to the bones, hear the word of God. This is why the devil don't want you in church, don't want you in Bible study, because he don't want you to know the word of God. He wants you to assume the word of God. But God is saying we got to get in a place where we have a relationship with him, where we're not laying down our righteousness. Because he said, I'm going to fix a church wherever you're going through, wherever battle you're in. You have the army of the angels of heaven on your side. But you got to look to him. You got to look to the hills where comes your help. God is saying he's ready to do greatness. He's ready to mend the brokenhearted. In the name of Jesus. So he says, thus said the Lord God to these bones. Now, after he said to him, prophesy over the bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. It says, thus says the Lord God to these bones. See, now, he said, this is what God is saying to the bones. He said, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay shoe upon you, and you and will cause flesh to come on you. And I like that scripture where he says, behold, I will cause you to have breath to enter in you, and you shall live. God is going to cause you to live again. And the thing about this prophecy, this vision of God, he's not talking to just anybody. He's talking to the church. Church, you shall live again. You shall be victorious again. But it's not in the things that we possess or have, because if you look at that, you're going to be discouraged every day. But when you look to the hills, what comes to help? All you see is Jesus. Even in this dying generation, when the brother was talking about the carts pulling them to the side, I'm telling you that when you're broken, you know that you can go to God. Guess what? There's going to be deliverance. So know that even though you feel dried up right now, you feel like I don't know how to cry anymore because I cried all my tears out. I don't have no more victory or joy. But the word of God was saying earlier that there's joy and strength in the Lord. In the name of Jesus, that scripture says the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. That means he's near to you and me. So you got to look at that enemy and speak to that situation and prophesy over it and say, get behind me, Satan, because God is with me. Do you believe in that, church, this morning? Do you believe that God is with you? So you got to count your blessings and say, thank you, Jesus. Count your blessings and say, thank you, Jesus. I don't know why you don't have nothing to say, but I got something to say. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God said to get out of complaining. Get out of looking at what's wrong. And in the middle of the valley, see the victory. See the victory. See the deliverance. If I looked at the things I had, I would not be saved today. But because I know the God that I have is the God of all things, I know that I shall be victory. Shall be victorious. So I'm telling you right now, dry bones, I'm speaking to my dry bones right now. That dry bone of sickness, I speak to you right now. You have to get out of my body. Dry bones of poverty, I prophesy over you. I shall have it, and I shall be successful because I declare it. This is what God is saying to the church today. He's saying to each and every one of you, what are you looking for? You're looking in all the wrong directions. You're not looking in the right places. He said, look to yourself. You remember that song, I Look to You? He said, look to yourself and see Jesus in you. Because you are carrying the gospel. You are the living word. Look at somebody and say, I'm the living word. I'm the living word. Say it again. Now guess what? If you're the living word, prophesy to these dry bones. Prophesy to your bones and say, you shall live again. You shall live again. Hallelujah. You shall live again. Thank you, Jesus. You shall be victorious again, said Jesus. You shall live again. Hallelujah. 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 Prophesy to yourself. And it says in that other scripture, make me to hear joy and gladness. And I like that because it says, make me. It says, help me out, Lord. Give me some joy and gladness. Make me. Somebody, hallelujah. We're lonely. That's what God is saying right now. People right here in the church are lonely. We're all by ourselves and we're crying. And we're blaming everyone else for what we're feeling. But God is saying, no, it's not about what other people are doing to you. What it's about your loneliness. But he says, I'm the God of the dry bones, and I'm going to bring life on you. I'm going to deliver you regardless of what you're going through. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 This message is for the pulpit, to the sound man. It's for all of us. Dry bones, you got to live again. And I like when God ministered to Ezekiel, he said, can these bones live again? He asked him a question. Can you live again? When you think of your heyday, when you first got saved, you were full of joy. You couldn't shut your mouth up. You had something to say to everybody and everyone. But God is saying, guess what? I am molding you and shaping you to perfection. Like the scripture said, be ye therefore perfect, even as my Father, which is perfect. But guess what? God is molding you. He's shaping you. He's grinding out the mess. And he's saying to you, I know you feel broken. I know you feel dead and dried up. But you got to prophesy. Prophesy, church. Prophesy. Stop listening to foolishness. And say, you know what? I'm just going to listen to God. Can we do that? Let's give God some praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what's funny about me? And I look over my life and what God has done for me, for my family, for our household. I know what I look on. I remember when I was a young kid and I sat in the schoolyard. And I sat on out in a schoolyard with a friend. I was only in seventh grade. I was just going to junior high. And I sat there and I was with my friend that I ministered to. And I said, you know what? I don't think we need to go to college or do work or do nothing because Jesus is coming. But that's the kind of person I was. I was sold out. I was sold out. And then my parents used wisdom and said, son, you got to still work. You got to still work as if it's day. Because you don't, the Bible says, no man knows the day nor the hour when he's coming back. So what does that mean now? What does it mean to me now? I'm 52 years old. What it means is that, guess what? If I never live to see the rapture, I'm still going to go and be with my Jesus. Because my mind was made up that it wasn't about the circumstances, but it was about the relationship. So guess what? I'm still full of fire. God has done something for you, church. If you, it's just like in testimony service, I don't want to jump up every Sunday, I could. But when I think about the goodness and what he's done for me, my soul cries out, thank you, Jesus. And one thing God showed me a long time ago is that if you can first find happiness in me, you're going to live and not die. And he said to me, he said, if you first trust me, regardless of what things may appear or look like, guess what? You're going to be victorious. That's what God is saying to the church today. He wants you to know one thing, that the church that we think we're following today is not the representing what he is. Just like back in the day when they followed Christ, what do? They chased him around and told him how they thought it should be. But the Son of God came in a manger. The Son of God had to struggle. He was a son of the king. And I'm going to tell you one fact. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. And regardless of your situation, you point to yourself and say, God loves me. Say it right now. Say it. God loves me. Now, you might not feel it. You might not be able to walk in all the victory, but you got to prophesy to your situation and say, God loves me. I am not dead, but I'm still alive. God loves everything about me because I am his child. How much does God love you? I remember when they would ask a child and the child would open up their arms and say, but God loves me much more because he goes right in between the heart. He gets in my heart and he touches it when I'm down and out. And he speaks to me when I need a helping hand. I don't know about you, John, but I love God. Hallelujah. And I refuse to play dead. I refuse to lay down for the devil. I refuse to give up. I refuse to die. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Come on, somebody. Say thank you, Jesus. Somebody cry out to God. Somebody call on him right now. And see the anointing. See the fire come down. And pierce. And burn out the impurities. Because God said, speak to them dry bones. And you're going to live again. The church, you're going to live again. Hallelujah, you're going to live again. And guess what? You're going to walk in victory again. No more blind stares. No more looking like you're lost in the desert. Know that God has your hand and he's guiding you out. He's guiding you out. He's guiding you out. Hallelujah, speak. Speak life. Speak life to the situation. Speak and pray. Say, Lord, it says in the sixth verse, it says, and I will lay show upon you and cause the flesh to come upon you. So he said, I will cause the flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. You shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. You got to stop listening to the world. You got to stop listening to people that think they got it together. You got to listen to God, church. And that's, I'm telling you right now, there's no special instructions on holiness and on righteousness. You know what the instructions is? Listen to me. Listen to what God is saying to you. Listen to his voice. But we don't want to listen. We want to listen to everyone else. And we wonder why we're dried up and going nowhere. You got to get your ideas out of your head. Get your perceptions out of your head. Don't perceive. Don't try to get a perception of how it should be. Just say, Lord, guess what? I'm yours. Like Moses, he went to the desert and they said to him, you took us out of a land of plenty. You brought us to the desert and we have nothing. How are you a man of God? I'm going to tell you why he was a man of God, because when he was in a situation, he didn't look to them. He didn't look to them. He looked to the hills. He looked to God, and there was his help. And when God gave him instructions, he was able to move forward. I'm asking you right now, can you move forward, church? Ministers, can you move forward? Musicians, can you move forward? Somebody got to be ready to go and be victorious. So speak to your situation, because you're going to be all right. Say it right now, church. Say, I'm going to be all right, because I'm in the master's hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm about ready to wrap it up. Give God some more praise. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you still look to the last couple of scriptures, Ezekiel, Isaiah 57, 15 says, for thus says the high and exalted one who lives forever, whose name is holy, I will dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lonely of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lonely and revive the hearts of the contrite. God is saying he's going to revive your heart. He's going to revive your heart. The next one is Psalms 154:3. And just reading part of it, he says, he heals the brokenhearted and bounds up their wounds. The scripture says right here, he heals the brokenhearted and bounds up their wounds. He's going to fix it. He's going to fix your wounds. It's like in battle, we go to someone to get put together. In Romans 15, 13, it says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace and believing, so that by the power of the Holy Ghost, you may abound in hope. So again, God is your joy. He's a God of hope and peace. And I'm going to get ready to close with this. Some of us haven't had a good day in a long time. Don't you know that the Bible says that the devil, his only job is to destroy you? And if he can't get you with the status quo things, the things that are obvious, he's going to go in deeper and touch the things that are hurt inside. And he's going to minister to that. But this scripture says he's the God of joy and peace, and he brings hope. So when you're in a situation where hope is gone, hallelujah. When you're in a situation where your hope is gone, then you're not speaking to the God of hope and peace. Because he says, I bring joy and I bring peace. So, church, this is revival. This is revival right now. Some of us been praying for revival. This is your revival coming right now. I'm believing God today that there's going to be a mighty movement in this place, because revival is here right now. It's here right now. So I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to challenge you, do a little soul searching and do a test upon yourself. Do a self-diagnostics. And hook yourself up to the Word. And let it troubleshoot you. Let it diagnose you and find out what's wrong. And then speak to that situation. You speak to it with the Word of God and say, I shall live and not die. Because victory victory is mine. And one thing I'm going to tell you, everyone that's here today, you want to feel real joy. The world has taught us not to shed a tear. I used to be a bad boy in my own way. I played football because it was the only way I got to fight, because I couldn't fight because I was in church. So I could hit up on someone in football. And they knew I knew how to hit. But I remember one time my kid said to me, "Dad, you always cry in church. People think I'm a wimp." But when you experience the mighty moving of God, and he takes somebody like you, and me, and make you better than what you can do for yourself, better than what your husband or wife can do for you, better than what your child can do for you, better than what education can do for you, better than what wealth can do for you. So when I would cry before God, and I just feel this release go on, I couldn't stop crying. And I would get on my knees and cry. And I said, "Lord, I just want to be right. I just want to live right. I just want to be holy. And I want to be somebody that people can see the truth in. I don't know about you, but I want people to see real. I want people to see Jesus. I don't want people to see me what I got, but I want them to see Jesus.